Welcome. You're listening to And One More Thing, a podcast where we chat more about things we couldn't fit into our sermon series on Sunday. These next three episodes are going to be dedicated to the topic of work and faith, and they go along with our sermon series, God at Work, and we hope that you'll join us for that on June 23rd. My name is Dan Sherfield. I'm the Connect Director here at Summit Church and also your host for this edition of the podcast. I'm especially excited about this topic. One, because I love the topic of work and faith. I came to Christ through the workplace, so it's very close to my heart, but also because I get to hang out with some friends of Summit, some folks who are congregants here, who each have their own unique experiences. You're doing great work in our city, in our community, and so I'm really excited about having you all here. Over these next three episodes, we're gonna be talking about work-life balance, the difference between work and toil, and also morality in the workplace. So joining me for this episode, we have Paul and Dana Hamlin, Carl Allen, and Gretchen Jubert. And I want to let them introduce themselves. Maybe you could each kind of go around, tell us your name again, tell us how you're connected to Summit, and of course, what you do for work.
All right, I'll start because you're looking at me. All right. My name's Paul Hamlin, and my wife Dana and I own Fluid Prints, and we do large format printing. We've been connected with Summit since 2006-ish.
Very good.
When we brought our baby daughter in, and we're just wildly impressed by the childcare and the quality of everything around here and the music, and it was love at first sight, and we've been here ever since.
All right, my name is Dana Hamlin. I am Paul's wife. We started Fluid Prints in 2001 and have worked there ever since, still going strong, and have been at Summit since 2006.
Long time. Yeah, that's great.
Hello, my name's Carl Allen. I'm a career service manager with Jobs Partnership. Jobs Partnership is a nonprofit that is a great has a great relationship with Summit. And so we've done some wonderful things and those who we serve through Jobs Partnership, and I'm just excited to be here tonight.
Awesome, and I'm Gretchen Jubert. I'm best known for my role as mom, but I'm also a freelance web and graphic designer and pick up like volunteer roles and projects in different charities that are around me.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here. Now that we get to know you a little bit and who we have with us, we're going to jump into our topic of work-life balance tonight. And so let's just start, like, what is, you know, when we're talking about work and life, we're talking about kind of this sphere, this, you know, cloud of what makes up our lives, right? So maybe just take a few minutes, tell the listeners, like, what is it that makes up your life? Give us a, you know, do you have kids? Like, we talked about what we do professionally, but I know that's not everything, right? We all have a lot going on in our lives. So whoever wants to kind of kick us off and just throw out there a little bit more that's going on with you.
Yeah, well, I can go. So I have four kids. They're all in their late teens, early adulthood ages. My sphere, the day-to-day, it's kind of crazy. I homeschool, so we're teaching kids at home. We've got kids working, my husband works from home. So just trying to balance like the everyday stuff. Yeah, that's kind of my sphere. That's doing all the home things. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and I'm sure you got personal interest in your faith and everything else going on, right?
Oh, like, yeah, it's absolutely. Just like,
there's a lot going on.
Yes.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Well, for me, I have two kids. I have a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. And my wife, she works from home, and so, you know, I'm the morning person, so it's on me to get the kids kind of going in the morning or whatnot. And then she swoops in, you know, and takes the youngest to daycare, and I take the oldest to camp right now. So we kind of work good together and balancing each other out. I say right now, hasn't always been that way, but we've grown into it over time and learning how to be, you know, parents, you know, and work at the same time.
Yep. Paul and I have two kids. Last youngest one just graduated high school, and we now have two kids starting college. We do have an office that's not far from home, and we pretty much bounce back and forth as needed. So we are you're the owner, it's 24/7, whether you like it or not sometimes. So we bounce back as we need, who needs to be where.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, I imagine owning your business, it's kind of a unique experience, right? Because one, like, oh, well, you get to dictate everything that you do, but also like everything stops there, right?
So yeah, when we were talking about it, you know, we just have a lot of bosses. We don't have one boss. And Gretchen, I'm sure you know, like if you're working on all these projects, like you got a lot of plates spinning at the same time. And every one is just as important as the first one, you know.
That's a unique perspective to share, right? Because I think most people think like, yes, if I own my own place, I'm the boss and I get to choose what I do and all the rest of it. And really what it means is you're relinquishing all the power to those who are your customers, right? And so everything has to go, and then your employees and your staff and everything else. So that's gonna be great to listen to as we unpack this a little bit more. So how have different seasons of your life affected your work-life balance? And how did you go about navigating that?
I'll say for me, the season that I'm in right now, it all started last year, you know, and I really believe that there are times where God is preparing us for something we don't even know we need to be prepared for. And so what I mean by that is this March, I found out I had colon cancer. And so it was March the 13th, April 11th, I had surgery. So once I found out, priority shifted. You know, it was leaning into a relationship with God more, being a husband, being a father. Work, although it was important, it wasn't as important anymore, you know? And so in being in this season, I've learned a lot. From last year to leaving the job I was with for 8 years, because everything was in chaos, that was that being prepared, getting prepared for this March. So it's just funny how God had to go from March to March. March, I left the position I was with, the company I was with. Then March, I find out I have colon cancer. So it was like in that preparation, in the season I'm in now, I'm really focusing on really what's important, making sure that there might not always be a balance, because I don't believe there ever be a 50-50 balance between work and life for me, but making sure the distribution of time and energy is I'm receiving something back that gives me purpose. You know, it's really staying in relationship with God to understand, am I on purpose?
What do you all think? What is this, you know, tell us about different seasons of your life and kind of how that's thrown.
I mean, I think about, the first thing I think about is the kids. I mean, that's what, like, kind of marks the different seasons. Like, when they're infants, you know, you have to do all this. And then it seems to get easier. And then it gets harder right before it gets easier again. And then it gets harder right before it gets easier again. As soon as you have something, you think you have something figured out, like Carl said, like God's got something that you didn't know was coming, or, you know, you couldn't predict in a million years. And you've got to hand it to him again and again and again. It just seems like those seasons, you know, I can remember them, and there's many times where I wish I didn't work so much, that I spent more time, or I wasn't so worried, like I've passed up opportunities to go to Hawaii was one thing we talked about, like, because I was really too afraid. And, you know, if you asked me tomorrow to go to Hawaii, it'd be a different answer.
Look, sorry, I can't make the podcast.
These people will figure it out.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and I think for me, I've seen a lot of different seasons, especially doing freelance work. I feel fortunate enough that I've been in a position to stay at home with the kids, so my income just kind of gets to be the extra. But in that, like, I've been thankful that I can trust God to just bring to me, like, what my plate can handle at the time. And so it's usually like one project starts and another one kind of ends. And, you know, so I've kind of got this ebb and flow, and sometimes it seems like it's consistent and sometimes it's spread apart. But yeah, it can be challenging because, with my primary role as a mom you know, like I have to try to make sure I balance my family first. Like that's what I signed up for, is taking care of my family. And sometimes I've seen, like, through different organizations I've volunteered with, or things I've signed myself up with, that it's definitely hard to find that balance, like, of not overdoing it or getting too distracted in that, you know, secular work, and then forgetting about my homework, you know. So
the biggest one that comes to mind from what Paul said, and having different changes, is that I was playing mom for such a, you know, big time during while the company was growing, and it was hard to jump in and put a work hat on when you still had kids, and they were usually crawling around my feet while in the office. We had a lot of nursery time. It was in our office just because we're so small and we were still growing. So they spent a lot of time at the office, which sometimes I feel kind of bad about, but it worked out. I think they appreciate now that they got to see that side of the work world, but still kind of tugs at mom's heart. That's like, I'm sorry I had you in an office when you were 4 and 5.
Yeah. But you were figuring out how to make it work, right? I think that's where, you know, if we were to go down the street to the bookstore and things like that, and you go in the self-help section, we'll find life-work balance, right? Like, millions of people have wrote on this topic trying to figure out, like, as if it's this kind of scale where, like, do I have both things equal, right? Do I have them actually in balance? And something someone shared with me once that I think speaks to what you're talking about is they said, I think that's just all wrong. Like, I feel like this is, like, if you think like a stained glass window that's like a mosaic, and sometimes, you know, one piece is a little bigger than the other piece, and but in different seasons of our life, the different pieces, and they're like, it's more beautiful the more different types of pieces that the light gets to shine through, and it has more to do with like how we bring our faith, you know, to everything that we do in our life. But sometimes that means there's going to be seasons where we have our kids on the floor in the office, right? That's just a reality of life. So thanks for sharing that with us. What would you say to your younger selves, right? Like, you've kind of, you know, you lived a little bit of your life, you've kind of gone through some seasons, right? Everybody's at a different age, it's around the table, but like, what would you say to your younger self who, you know, and I think that's when we're younger, we try to figure out, I'm gonna have, you know, perfect, healthy balance. I'm not gonna get too involved in this or too involved. What would you tell your younger self? What would be some advice?
Go to Hawaii.
Go to Hawaii. Yes. Yes. I think we need to get you a trip to Hawaii, my friend. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us more about that. Can you tell us a little bit about that story? Like, what was it that happened?
Well, Dana was traveling a lot in her previous job. And so when we grew enough to where she came on full time to help me, she had a lot of airline points. And it was just a time, I mean, it was before we had kids. We were growing, and I might have been the only person there. We might have had one other person helping. Mm-hmm. And it was a season where she's figuring out, oh, we can go for free, you know, on these points, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like stressing out because I'm looking at a calendar and, you know, honestly, not giving that up to God at that point in time, to take care of it and go and enjoy that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that too, because I also think, like, we happen to be a bunch of parents around a table, but I can remember, I didn't get married till I was a little later in life and pre-kids and all the rest of it. And we have a lot of listeners who are single and things like that. And I remember life feeling just like that, right? Like, we all fill our time and space with something, and it comes down to priorities and whether or not I prioritize that relationship, that trip to Hawaii, whatever that is, you know? And now we look back and go, oh man, right? Like, I probably could have made that work. I could have trusted that God would have handled the business, right, while we went and did this thing and got to enjoy each other, right?
And there's been also times since then where I've, you know, just a little bit to God, just a little more, maybe tentatively and slowly, like, growing in that to where it's not as big a deal anymore to me. Like, even if in my head there's, you know, anxiety and stress about whatever I think is going to happen, I give it over a lot easier. But it's been a 20-year process.
What'd you tell your younger self?
I think I would just tell my younger self, pray more. Seriously, like really pray about not even just the major changes. Sometimes I've been told, hey, you just got to pray about the major stuff. No, pray about everything. Because even when I don't know what to pray about, I just say, hey, self, just pray for his presence. And so that's what I would tell my younger self. When you pray, when you don't know what you're going to say or know what to pray about, pray for the presence of the Lord. And then you'll find guidance in that. You will. You'll find it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I think for me, it would be the work you're doing is invaluable. I may be saying the wrong thing. That it's valuable. Like what you're doing is important. That's what I want to get at. What you're doing is important. That sometimes as a mom raising the kids, like you can question like the choices you're making. Should I be contributing differently? Like through a work, should I pursue more work? And I think for me, like knowing that the foundations that I was setting for our family, both in faith and just how our family functions, have been so important. And like seeing them as adults now, like and coming into adulthood, and like watching them embody their faith and like family values, and it's really heartwarming. But secondarily, I'd also say don't forget to take care of yourself, both spiritually and physically. As a mom, it's really easy to just get distracted with the do of parenting and taking care of things. And I think it's really important to also make sure that you're taking time aside for yourself so that you can be the best parent and spouse possible. So
I like what you said about taking care of yourself, because as moms, at least, and I'm sure there's a dad factor in here too, but
not so much. More the mom.
you do. You're so in charge of, you know, what do they need? What do they need? Do they have everything? You know, is my lunch packed for tomorrow? Do they have their homework done? And at the end of the day, you're like, I just needed 5 minutes to sit and not do anything, mm-hmm. just calm 5 minutes to refocus and not worry about something.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing one of the hardest underpaid jobs there is out there. There's such a mental load that is carried, and that's one thing I definitely try to do in my own home is how can I help take some of that mental load, because you do carry on. There's just something with our moms that just like they own it all as a default, and so we got to be like, hey, let me take some of this in that mental load. So that's great. So what challenges have you encountered when attempting to have like excellence in the workplace and excellence in maybe your spiritual life, your relational life? Like when you have been like, okay, I'm gonna do it right. Like what's the challenges, right? Because you know, we want to put our best self into everything, whether it be the best parent, the best owner, right, and boss, and employee, and things like that. But what challenges have you encountered in that, and how did you maybe resolve those as you've kind of hit challenges along the way?
Yeah. So for me, it's time, and it's like going to an extreme with time. So if I'm getting heavily involved in something, I find that it's really easy for me to start giving it a lot of time and attention, but almost to the point where I can get distracted. So if I'm not careful and I'm not including God in all the steps, like I'm definitely very vulnerable to swing to the extreme of something. So it's important for me then to balance that with checking in with my spouse, checking in with God, making sure that we're like not overdoing it and that we're really following what he has set out for us. Because sometimes things look really good when we start out with them. And I'm like, yeah, surely this is where he's directing me. And I kind of get into it. And then I'm like, oh, no, maybe not. No, that was not where I was supposed to be going. Okay, hard turn. So that's kind of for me. Time is the big challenge.
I think for me, it has been having those mental reminders of those constant check-ins with myself, you know, to see, hey, are we still on purpose? You know, because sometime in the past, I've gotten caught up into wanting to do such a great job where family takes a back seat. Younger kids, you know, they're young, you know, but they took a back seat, you know, even with helping out with homework. And we all know that homework today is different than 20 years ago. So,
we can't do that.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
I cannot do fourth grade math.
Right, right.
Like, I know the answer, but I do not know how they want you to do
it. Exactly. And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, life felt like I was just, it was very chaotic. It's like I was on a hamster wheel that didn't have any purpose anymore. And so I really had to, you know, not only pray, but what I learned by listening to my wife as a result of counseling was that I don't have to own everything. Going back to that dad factor, sometimes even as a father, you feel you have to have the weight of the world on your shoulders. And so when I needed those moments to unload on someone, I'm not going to unload on my wife. You know, she does a lot as it is. So I'm just going to keep it all in. And that's the worst thing that you can do, you know. And so I had to really pray and give it to God, you know, really pray and just allow him to guide me in what I should do next.
Yeah, you guys both said checking in, and as Gretchen was saying it, I was thinking the same thing. Like, that's a really big deal, especially as a married couple. Like, everybody has different levels and tolerances, you know, for energy and for this project or that project. And, you know, I can be kind of focused on work, and then flip it off and go to a basketball game or a swim meet or go to an award, you know, some ceremony or something at school, and like, she maybe, you know, she's got to make sure everybody's dressed and fed, and it's just, it's checking in. Are you okay? Are you know, she's asking me, am I okay? And it's just a lot of communication.
But what you said about, you know, bottling up and which way it was directed, we struggled, I think, with that a lot because it's almost like there's no separation. It's the two of us are at home or the two of us are at work. So there wasn't a lot of like disconnect. It was like, oh, how was your day at work? And I know nothing about it. It was like, I know it was bad. Here we are. We're back at home. Let's not talk about work. But it's so, we're so wrapped up in it. It's hard not to. And a lot of the times the frustrations will just come home and go, this was awful, and this client, or this didn't work right, and the printer broke, and it's so hard to not let all of that work life come in and just smother any break you can get at home during your home life. So we have struggled with that, you know, in highs and lows of the business. When it was low, and it was like, no, I don't want to talk about work.
Yeah, and I was maybe not as thoughtful as Carl in not unloading, taking it out at home.
I wasn't going to say that, but
I've gotten better. I'm still trying to get better, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't always been there. I had to be nudged along the way as well, because where it really got bad for me and checking out when I would get home sometime, leaving it up to my wife to do everything, was when my mother passed a few years ago. And so I went into autopilot and work, home. And I would come home, go to sleep. And it was like she told me, you just know I'm going to take care of the kids because I'm a great mother. And so I'm not going to let them go without, which, and I wasn't trying to take advantage of that. That's just where I was in that work-life balance that didn't exist at the time. And so, yeah, I wasn't always there. You know, I had to be, I had to really listen, you know, I had to listen.
Yeah. So that was a time in your life where things were unbalanced, right? Like it just kind of caused you. How about everybody else? Is there a moment where you felt like, you know, and it doesn't have to be in your current career or your current state, right? Like at any point in your life where you were like, man, I was really out of balance in that season. Like, I don't know, share with your listeners, like what that looked like for you.
I can take that one. I worked for an event planning company. For right out of college for a couple years in that. And there's a reason I don't do that anymore, because you get burnt out. And there wasn't even kids, and we weren't married or anything like that. I was just single. And it was all work all the time, because you are bringing these clients in with thousands of people, and you're making sure they're on this bus and go this. And they would come in at 7 a.m. and they wouldn't go to bed until after midnight. And that was a hard lesson. And I quickly was like, this is miserable. I don't want to do this anymore. But that's what I had gone to school for, was kind of living in that world. And it really was eye-opening quickly how demanding that was, that there was no time for anything else but work. And I got out of that. I had to leave.
Has anybody found, like, where you've been in maybe in a season where your identity has been in something too much? Is that kind of, I think that's one of the things that kind of contributes to that imbalance in our lives, right? Where we have too much identity caught up in our work or our product that we do, or even it could be on the other side, right? Where our identity is coming through some other thing that's going on in our life. Anybody ever have anything like that go on?
It's a struggle. It feels like it's a constant struggle, and it comes from outside. It's like whatever environment you're in, like whatever those people are asking you about. Like if you're at a work thing, they're asking you about work, and that's kind of their focus. And it's difficult to like keep that at bay and like remember your identity in Christ. Like that's because that's not like a physical demonstration, really. You don't go around with bumper stickers or whatever. I don't, but mm-hmm. It can kind of go the wrong direction. There's a fine line, and I just think it's through your actions, it's how you respond to whatever's coming at you.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. I think for me, what I used to experience when I had a role where I was a leader of people, now my actions or lack thereof could directly affect them, which will ultimately affect their work-life balance. And so really being mindful of that caused me to focus in on work more, creating that unbalance. But I always tried to make the best decisions through my identity in Christ. And sometimes among peers and colleagues, those were unpopular decisions. But that was the one area I had to stay rooted in my identity, was when I made decisions. But it was kind of strained as far as working a lot, because I want to put forth the best effort for those who I was leading. Yeah. So I wouldn't create an imbalance for them.
Hmm. What a great lesson, right? Like for those who've been given the gift of leadership and the opportunity to lead staff, sometimes in our pursuit of having work-life balance, we're actually creating an imbalance for somebody else if we're just kind of shoving it down the line, right? And so actually caring about them as a whole person really shows our Christ-likeness and our leadership. So that's awesome. All right, so we talked about what makes us unbalanced, right? And seasons where maybe we've gotten things out of whack. Like, has anybody ever experienced where they feel like, okay, I've got it, it's all balanced, it's locked in, maybe it was for 5 minutes or so? Or if not, like, what do you think is the things that are like, they're pulling us away from balance, right? What is taking us away from where we should have our eyes on God and doing our life kind of through that lens? So, share on either of those, anything that comes to mind.
I think for the balance moment, we took our kids on their first cruise 2 years ago. And I really remember actually being not only available, but being present in the moment. Because there are times where we've done vacations or done other things and I was available, but I wasn't present. Because I was either worried about work or worrying about, those who I was leading in some way. So I wasn't connected in that moment. But on the cruise 2 years ago, I was very, very connected, got in some good time with my wife, got in some good family time. And so that was a moment of balance for me.
Yeah. And I'm just going to double down on the cruise thing, because I agree with you. You go on those cruises, like there's food always available for your kids. They want something, go get it. Like you don't like what you want, ask for something else, right? Like there is something about a cruise. I like that. That is a good picture of being balanced, but it's really about kind of creating disconnection and focus on what's most important in you, right? Like, awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, that actually really sparked a memory for me of like, I don't know, we were just sitting at home one day with the kids. I don't even know if we were in the school year yet, but because we kind of do it year round, so I'm not sure where we were in our plan. But And I ended up snapping a photo of us. It was me sitting on the couch, and all four kids kind of came and sat around me. And we just had this, like, just this moment of peace. It was wonderful. Everybody's happy. Everybody's getting along. It felt like things were accomplished, you know? Yeah. I mean, to me, those are my balanced moments. When I have my kids next to me, and we're just all in, like, stasis as a family, or we're okay. We're doing the things. But, yeah, it's a fond memory. I really like that one a lot.
We probably have more out of balance.
Well, what pulls memories. You out of balance then? Like, what are the things that are fighting us for our ability to be balanced?
We, Ted, talked about that it's hard to say no, and I think you touched on that earlier, that we get some crazy requests. So Fluid Prints does signs, and people will think we can do a, you know, billboard sign. We aren't billboard signs. We are a little smaller than that, but we're not business cards. So we kind of have a niche in there. And we will get asked all sorts of questions. And Paul really likes, and you could speak to this more.
I don't know the word no.
He likes to do different things and be creative. He's the creative mind. I'm the accounting side. He's the creative mind. So he doesn't want to say no, and he wants to explore. And sometimes it's a really out of our realm to make something happen.
And that throws it out of balance. I mean, it 100% throws it out of balance, because the stuff that we do, you know, day in and day out, we've got a great team. They're amazing. If I don't get my hands in it, then it's going to go great. And then if I come in and try to merge onto this highway with some other project that doesn't really fit into that, it throws everything out of balance. Yeah. And then it throws, like Carl said, everybody else's life, work-life balance out of balance, because now I'm putting it on them.
Yeah.
But the times that have, you know, been good is I like to see when people that you work with get to go on a cool vacation. That's rewarding when you see them get to enjoy whatever, you know, we've worked together for as a team. And then we get to take, you know, the other half of that spring break off. And we, you know, like you said, Gretchen, when the kids come to you and they say stuff, and I can't even like put a pin in it right now, but it's like, oh, they've been paying attention, or we've actually built kind of like some traditions or a culture around our family that's good. And when they say those things, it's like, ah, you know, we didn't screw it up too badly. I guess, you know, it feels like, oh, there was some kind of balance. We might have gotten off the tightrope, you know, a couple times and climbed back up. But those times are, I feel like makes all the hard work worth it.
Yeah,
definitely.
I love that. There were so many nuggets in there, right? I mean, I think everybody spoke to relationships. Like when we were pouring into our relationships, we felt the most balanced, right? When we were kind of in some stasis, and also a healthy no. That's a great lesson for people to know. Like, it's not that it's business, right? It might have been good business, might have been good money, but sometimes there's a healthy no, even to something good, that helps keep things kind of balanced for us, right? Versus our pursuit to always conquer and do. So wrapping up a conversation here, right? We're talking about work-life balance, but like, what would you say to somebody, right? So there are people, there are listeners, right? And I imagine if you tune in to listen to a podcast on work-life balance, my guess is it's not because you figured out how to get it done right, right? It's because they're struggling. And I think we'd all agree, yeah, we all are, right? Or we at least have seasons of struggle. So what encouragement can we give to our listeners who are like, I need something. What can we give them to just encourage them along the way towards what work-life balance is, or what your viewpoint is on the topic overall?
I think one thing would be to schedule in that personal time. One thing that we talked about that we've done for the last couple of years is we have two scheduled, I'll call them date nights. And this might be different because we work together as well. But on those date nights, one of them, there's no work talking allowed. It's just us, kids, or, you know, anything other besides work. Yeah. And then the other one's more of a planning night. So we get to sit down, and it's not necessarily a work plan. It's a, oh, this, somebody's got this swim meet. This has got somebody's, you know, recital, or you plan all that for your personal stuff so that we can fit those in and plan around our personal stuff ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would say there's no perfect recipe to work-life balance. Like, it's going to look different for everybody. But I would just encourage everybody to, like, figure out what your priorities are. You know, what's important to you? Is it important that you have one-on-one time? Is it important, you know, are you missing or needing more time in the Word with the Lord? Like, where are those areas that might be lacking that you want more time? And then to really sit down and look at, like, how you can make that happen in your schedule. Because surprisingly, there's a lot more downtime in our lives than we give ourselves credit for. We just fill it with a lot of empty things. So that would be my biggest encouragement for everybody listening.
Yeah. I would say definitely set healthy boundaries, because we're not meant to be everything to everyone. And in setting those healthy boundaries, sometimes you have to say, no, not at this time. You know, that's something that I learned from my wife, definitely setting boundaries. But also when it comes to work, what I would say to someone is that if you don't feel like you're on purpose or you're living out the true meaning of what God has called you to do, pray about it and see where you need to go next. Because it should be a feeling when you wake up in the morning, you get to go do this. Versus I have to, because when you're in that I have to moment, then that's when things really could be unbalanced.
Yeah, and, you know, the person that comes to mind for me is, you know, the person who does feel like they've got to work just to make ends meet. They've got to work all these hours. And, you know, I kind of came from that world before we started our own thing. And that's what motivated me to do my own things, because that is a miserable experience. And I would just say, stay connected with God and follow Jesus and tithe if money is an issue. But and also seasons comes to mind, you know. It feels in the moment like it's gonna be that way forever. But you do grow. I mean, I'm proof that, you know, you can make small increments in 20 years.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah, I'm going to add to the advice from my perspective. I feel like give yourself grace, right? I think that's what you're saying is, like, I think there is seasons to our life. And so if you're in a season where you feel like it's all out of whack and imbalance, it is a season, right? This doesn't have to be your always existence, but it also doesn't mean it's not intentional. It might be a time of preparation as you brought forward in your walk. And that reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3, and I'll leave us with this, a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And I just love that because I think it speaks to the realities of what work-life balance, right? This idea of, instead of trying to hold two things in your hand, just know that we're managing time, right? I think that's what was in the underlying of everybody's answer was, we're trying to manage time. And we might just be in a season. So thank you all so much for being part of this podcast. Thanks for joining us on this episode of And One More Thing. And if you like what you heard and want to jump into more topics surrounding faith and workplace, you can, of course, join us this Sunday for the first week of our new series, God at Work. We're also going to be having a speaker series on the topic of faith and work on Monday nights. That's going to begin on July 8th. And you can find more information about all of these things on summitconnect.com. We've had such a great discussion. I thank you to our guests. You guys were awesome. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your hearts and your lives with us. We hope that you'll tune in for next week's episode, where we're going to chat with some other friends about the difference between work and toil.